Into CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald. It is Friday at 9 o'clock here in Vancouver, and it is time for Skald's Hall. Tonight, we're going to be starting off with an interview we did with a couple of very creative people, Chantel and Doug, who are involved together in a collaborative project called Bad Pixies. And despite the name, it is not bad. It is a very interesting amalgamation of several different media, including the ones that we cover. And we got in touch with them during the Vancouver Fan Expo. And we finally managed to get our schedules together in so far as getting an interview done. And that interview is coming up right now in just a moment here on Skald's Hall at CITR 101.9 FM.
Métis in Space, live from the UBC Longhouse.
May 19th, 1 to 4 p.m. Join us for a special live taping of the podcast
Métis in Space
from the UBC Longhouse on unceded Musqueam territory. Admission is free and light refreshments will be provided. This May 19th, 1 to 4 p.m.
And thank you to this event's sponsors, the First Nations and Indigenous Studies Program, the Vancouver Indigenous Media Arts Festival, and CITR.
So you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and we are here today with Douglas Lloyd. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Chantel Knight. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about the kind of work you do?
I'm a freelance writer. I write Dungeons & Dragons and Pathfinder. That's mainly what I do. I've just recently got into the world of writing comics.
I am a model and cosplayer. I mainly do cosplays and promotional stuff.
So, Douglas, how did you get involved writing for role-playing games?
I thought I would write years from now when I'm 65 and I'm retired, and I, by fluke, stumbled across a small company in the States that was looking for writers. I submitted something to them thinking that they'd probably politely say no, and they said, yes, we'll publish it. Just went from there. I just submitted a little Dungeons & Dragons adventure, something very simple that people could do in a few hours, and the guy said, yeah, sure, we'll publish it.
Chantel, how did you get into doing performance cosplay art?
Basically, just my love for anything nerdy. Like, I played a lot of video games growing up, watched anime, and it was Anime North. I only went the Saturday, but I felt like I was at home. I kind of went straight into branding myself. I didn't really keep it as a hobby, but it didn't start off quickly either. It's everything, you know, you got to put money to make money, right? I did luckily have the background of already doing promotional modeling for people, so that kind of helped.
I see. So you got into it from being a professional model to begin with.
It was just something I always wanted to do. I started with things for high schools, like I did a few non-smoking campaigns. I just basically whatever came up, I tried to get into and kind of branched out from there. Once I moved to the city, turned 18, I had a lot more job offerings. It was good.
And Douglas, what kind of things have you been writing recently?
The most recent thing is the comic book Bad Pixies, and just did the comic. It was something I go to a lot of comic conventions and everybody, Chantel included, said, well, why don't you write a comic book? Bad Pixies is the adventures of a group of mischievous pixies with possibly good intentions that keep getting into trouble.
I am actually one of his pixies. I am on the front cover of the first comic that's going to be coming out for digital download right now. It is live action artwork done by Mike Rocha. He basically takes all of the images and kind of enhances it, kind of adding the hairstyles or adding the type of clothes that they're wearing, but it's still a photograph.
What's it like to try to create a character that's going to come to life through printed dialogue and stills?
It's all acting in the end. So, I mean, you kind of just go by, you know, the idea of the story and try and portray a character that fits into that story in hopes that it will look good in the end.
And Douglas, can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this particular work?
I've always had an overactive imagination, and I like going to conventions and stuff. And originally I thought, well, let's just do some posters and call it Bad Pixies. and Chantel and other people said, well, that's great for the model, but you're a writer. I just said, okay, we're going to comic conventions. Let's do a comic. I dream up ideas all the time. And I just put together a storyline and went with it.
What was it like to move from a more print-centric medium of writing, say, you know, Dungeons & Dragons adventures, to writing for something that's a little bit more visually dominant?
I have to be very careful that I, here's the dialogue, here's the background that the artist is going to do. I don't have to get into this really massive description of what things look like. I just have to make it clear enough that the artist knows what I'm thinking about.
Do you do storyboarding or anything like that before you write?
We did an outline, looked it over, trashed it, and then, yeah, I did a little bit of storyboarding with the artist. I wrote the dialogue, he did some storyboarding, and then I filled in a little bit more dialogue, and we talked it over, and then, of course, did the photos with Chantel.
And Chantel, what did you know about the character before you started?
I kind of had an idea of how I wanted to portray my character. I wanted her to be, like, tough. Doug gave me kind of an outline of what he wanted the character to be, so I kind of put a bit of my personality in with what he visioned, and that kind of brought in this one ball of crazy. I was the one to come up with how the character would look. Some of the scenes were given to me, and then kind of I gave a few scenes back. It was basically like a bounce back and forth with ideas.
That was actually a good process. I think it improved my idea, really. Chantel and Mike said, look, you know, we like this, but how about changing a few things? So the collaborative process was a benefit. Usually all I do is I just write things out and I fire it off to the editor and they fix the spelling and grammar and it's over. Working as a team, I enjoyed it. It was good. I wanted years ago somebody to help portray the ideas that were in my mind. I had gone to Toronto Comic Con, really enjoyed it, was looking at some pictures, stumbled across some pictures Chantel had done. She had a fan page. She had a web page. And Mike, I had seen some of his artwork. It looked really different. I picked up one of his comics, and I thought, hey, this is kind of different. I'm not an expert on comics, but I really like this. And bumped into him at Toronto Comic Con and said, hey, you know, I'd like to do some posters and stuff. Would you be interested? And probably over a six-month period, just kept talking.
Maybe we should talk a little bit about how can we find the Bad Pixies comic?
It is currently available for download on Drive-Thru Comics. Do an internet search, Drive-Thru Comics, fairly easy to find. And then once you get to the webpage, just type in Bad Pixies and it will bring up issue number one.
Are you guys going to be attending any conventions upcoming this year?
Yes, not till the fall. We're going down to the States to Dragon Con, just honestly to have fun. I'm going on vacation. I think Chantel's going to cosplay. No surprise there. And then Edmonton. Edmonton, we will have a full booth. If I can get a bunch of print copies done, we'll do that. We'll do signings and stuff. Edmonton is the Edmonton Comic Expo, I believe. That's last weekend in September.
I'm going to be at Anime North at the end of this month. Then I have Niagara Falls the week after that. I think I have Unplugged next, Dragon Con and Edmonton.
And just so that people can find your work and take a look at it, do you guys have an online or social media presence that you could share so that viewers or listeners could look you up?
Yep, I am www.zombiebit.me.
www.zombiebit.me.
I have a small website called Vedder Press, VedderPress.com. And I've got issue one of Bad Pixies is up there. And also a short story I did with Chantel where she plays a half-dark elf called Siren. That was the first project we actually collaborated on and still really enjoyed doing that. Okay, Mike Roshuk, which is roshuk.com. And he has quite an extensive amount of pictures that he's done, Disney princesses, He's done three different comic books. He's a Canadian artist.
I just wanted to ask one final question before we go. Do either of you have any advice for up-and-coming artists who are thinking about getting their work out there?
Be prepared to put in a lot of hours. You've really got to be dedicated, and you've got to be ready for things to not always work. Just because you think it's a great idea doesn't mean everybody else will like it. So, you know, be ready to put in the time, be ready for successes, but also some things that don't work.
I agree. Dedication is definitely key, because if you don't keep up with something that you want to further, then it's just not going to work at all. And definitely take business classes. They're great. Branding is a huge portion. People want to know who you are, and you need to come across professionally, and you need to know how to get yourself out there.
You've been tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM with Douglas Lloyd and Chantel Knight here on Scalds Hall.
The Fire Hall Arts Center's God and the Indian explores one of Canada's darkest chapters, the residential school system. Celebrated playwright Drew Hayden Taylor's Black Humor illuminates this heartbreaking story of a Cree woman who cannot escape her past, on from May 20th to 30th. See firehallartcenter.ca for details.
Arch Oblers, lights out, everybody. It is later than you think. Turn out your lights now. Some of you may not know this, but beneath many of our cities, there's a subworld, not only of subways, but sub-sub basements and man-made caverns where little trains run and deliver the goods to the department stores and the factories of our industrial complex. Today we're going to some of those sub-sub basements in a play I've written for you titled Sub-Basement.
But of course I can run an elevator.
I was just asking.
And I told you. Well, here we are. All right. All right, are you getting out?
I suppose so.
Suppose so. For 10 years, that's all I've heard. Where do you work? What do you do? Why don't you let me see you?
Don't get angry.
Oh, I'm not angry. I'm just telling you. Come on, this way.
Big basement.
You don't know the half of it. Like a whole city down here.
A person goes to a department store and doesn't know all this is underneath.
Say that again.
And you're in charge of everything down here?
There's another fact. Here. Look at these.
What are they? Furnaces?
Oil burning. Heats and air conditions the whole building up above. 20 stories.
But where is everybody?
Nothing but a watchman at this hour of the night. Everything's shut down.
Help!
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
What did you do that for?
Oh, I just wanted to hear my voice. It's like a big cave down here.
Yelling out like that. Won't you ever grow up?
Don't be angry on me.
All right, come on.
Yes, honey.
Come on, in here.
Another elevator?
Well, you want to see everything, don't you?
Yes, I do. Down some more?
Yeah. All right.
Another basement.
Yeah, go ahead. Plenty of light to see behind.
What's down here?
Come on over here, I'll show you. There, in the wall.
Is it a tunnel?
That's what it is.
But a tunnel down here?
See those tracks?
Yes. Where do they go?
How do you think all the merchandise is brought to all the stores here in the business section? Tunnel system, that's how. Right under the city streets.
I had no idea.
Mighty few people have. Trains run on those tracks, bring the stuff right in.
Trains? Oh, Arne.
You think all I've got to do is make jokes? You think the only kind of a train's a big one?
Well, I just don't know.
These are little ones. They run on electric batteries, just like they have down in the mines. Come on, I'll show you.
Where?
In the tunnel.
But it's so dark.
There are lights every little ways. Come on.
I don't think so.
What's the matter with you?
I'm afraid.
Oh, for John's sake. For years you've pestered me and pestered me to see. You come along, Emma. You understand?
All right. Arnie, this is far enough.
Oh, for John's sake. What's the matter with you now?
I don't know.
Come on, there's one of the little engines parked down at the end of the tunnel. You might as well see it. Well, keep walking.
I think I'd like
down to... Down this way. You'll see the train.
Yes, but Arnie, the lights... Arnie, where are you?
Right here.
What's the matter?
Matter?
Oh, why are you standing so close to me?
I'm your husband.
Arnie, don't be silly.
Emma, I'm going to tell you something.
Arnie, what's the matter with
you? Listen to me for the last time.
Last time? Arnie, what's the matter with you?
Do you know that you can't get out of here?
What?
You can't get out of here.
Arnie, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Oh, Arnie. You haven't made a joke like that in years. The last time you tried to scare me was right after we were married, remember? With that fur piece you made off was a dead animal that had gotten in the bedroom. You remember?
I remember. Come along further, Emma.
Oh, as long as I know what you're up to, I don't mind. How far are we going?
A long way.
All right, Arnie. Anything you say.
Don't I know it? All right.
All right, what?
This is as far as we're going.
Oh. I feel funny. I've never been under the ground so far in so long. It was very nice of you, Arnie, to take me down here. So interesting. Very nice of you. Arnie, why don't you say something? Arnie, is something the matter? Arnie, really, you can't frighten me. Not now, you know. Arnie, are we waiting for someone? If we are, I think I hear him.
Hear him?
Well, yes, don't you?
No.
But I heard someone.
Tell you there's no one down here.
All right. All right, if you say so, Arnie.
If I say so. Can't you say something else but that even now?
Now?
Yes. Irma, I'm going...
There, I heard it again.
What?
Are there trains running this late at night?
Trains?
If it's a train, we ought to get out of here. Tunnel so now, Arnie, please.
Shut up. Let me listen.
Hear it?
Will you shut up? Who's there? Who's there?
Isn't there supposed to be anyone?
Oh, of course not. I saw to it. Is that you? Is that you, Tom?
Who's Tom?
Tom, are you down here?
One of the watchmen?
I told him I'd pull his boxes tonight. I told him. Tom! Hey, Tom!
What's wrong?
Tom, what's the matter with you? Come on out here, do you hear me? Come out right away or I'm firing you. Tom!
Is he playing jokes, too?
That fool, I'll break his neck. Get my hands on that.
No, Arnie, don't leave me. Arnie, where did you go? Arnie, it's so dark, the tunnel. Arnie, where are you?
Oh.
Arnold, was that you? Arnold, it is you. Did you cry out? What?
Stay back.
You. That man. Who?
From what's left of his face, I think it's Tom.
What? What happened? The train ran over him? Arnold, answer me, was it?
Train? No. Something's torn out his throat. Come on. Gotta get out of here.
Oh, yes.
Something down here.
Arnie, wait, I can't
police.
Go so fast.
Police, I'll get the police.
Please, Arnie, wait for me. Arnie, what's the matter? Arnie, why did you stop? standing here. Why don't you open the door?
Door wasn't closed before.
Well, open it.
It won't open. It won't open! All right. We'll be there in a minute.
But are you sure?
I tell you, it's an emergency exit. It's always kept open.
Why was that door locked?
Stop asking me that. I don't know.
And that watchman?
Stop talking, will you? I don't know anything.
Ronnie, why did you stop talking? And why stop? You said the emergency exit.
That's it.
What?
Behind those timbers. It's blocked off. You understand? It's blocked off.
Well, what do we do? We can't just stand here. Arnold, that man was killed. There's someone down here, I'm afraid. Oh, Arnold, get me out of here.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got to think.
Think?
Oh, whoever killed Tom, not down here necessarily.
You don't think so?
Well, why should he be? Nothing to steal down here. Tom was always borrowing money from people. Somebody he didn't pay back. Yeah, that's it.
But the doors...
Oh, well, he got out and closed the doors. What of it? We can get out. Come on.
Where?
I told you, these tunnels lead to the buildings all over the business section. Follow the tunnel to the next sub-basement, to the next building. We'll get out, that's all.
Honey, don't get too far ahead of me.
Just walk fast, will you?
Yes. Oh, honey, I look forward so very much to tonight. It had been so long since you'd even thought about me. I knew that. And tonight, when you called me up and told me to meet you here, and then when you started to play those crazy, scary jokes before, even then
Irma, you see it too?
Is it after us?
Don't talk. Run.
Oh, my side. It's hurting.
Well, that's too bad.
Honey, don't leave me behind. Honey, I can't run any faster. Honey, wait.
Oh, oh.
Honey.
Oh.
Honey, what? Oh, honey. Oh, I'm killing.
Oh.
Honey.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Your leg.
Broken. Broken.
Oh. Honey, come on.
Can't.
Hold on to me. We'll manage.
No, I can't.
But you can't lie here. That thing.
It's coming.
I don't know. I can't see it.
I was running a rock under my foot.
Arnold, over here, a pile of boxes.
What?
Hide behind them. If I help you, could you go over there?
Yes, hide. Give me your arm.
Yes, I will. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. If you hold my hand tight. Come.
Get over there.
Come on. I'll help you.
Take it easy,
That's
will
it.
You?
That's it. We're getting there.
Hurt.
Back here. There.
Oh. Now help me down.
Yeah. Here you are.
God.
Oh, honey. There. Oh. We'll be all right.
Can you see it?
No. No, it's gone.
Oh.
Just don't think about it, Arnie.
What was it? Emma, you hear me? What was it? You went to school. You studied things like that. That thing. What was it? Emma, didn't you hear me?
Yes. I heard you.
What was it? Was it a lizard? Yes. Some kind of a lizard. That's it. A lizard.
Some kind of a lizard.
Why do you say it that way?
I thought good, Arnie.
Well?
In school. one of the books there was an animal like that.
How did it get down here? A lizard that big?
Oh, no, you don't understand. Geology book. The thing wasn't a lizard, exactly.
Huh?
It was a dinosaur.
Are you crazy?
No. I'm telling you what I saw. It sort of sat up on its hind feet. Just like the picture in the book.
What are you trying to do? Make me crazy, too? Why, those things died millions of years ago.
Arnie, look.
Huh?
Way down the tunnel. By the light. It is a dinosaur.
Don't move!
Arnie, it is a dinosaur. Has it gone away?
I don't know.
It's been so long.
Just don't move.
It just looked at us.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it come after us? Why?
Maybe it didn't see us.
What?
Well, it was like something that had been in the dark for a long, long time.
Yes. Oh.
Don't move around.
Oh, there's a little room back here.
Oh, would you rather go out there?
Oh, don't be angry with me, Ernie.
Angry? Why should I be angry? Emma, you went to school. You studied those things. You called it a
dinosaur.
Yeah. All these hours, I've been thinking, how could a thing like that, which was supposed to have passed out of the world so many years ago, how could it be alive now?
I don't know.
Emma, listen, I know. This tunnel under the business district, they were putting on an extension, blasting in the rock. Maybe that thing came out from inside the earth.
Maybe.
You're not frightened, are you?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm with you.
If it came back, what could I do for you?
It's just being with you.
Yeah.
I keep thinking.
And what?
That poor watchman.
Yeah, it'll really be something when it's morning and everyone finds out about it.
What do you think they'll do?
They'll hunt it down. The police will get it soon enough.
Arnold.
Yeah?
Arnold, what if it won't be here then?
Huh?
It's been hours since we last saw it standing down there. What if it's gone back where it came from?
It's all right with me.
But what if they're not...
They'll hunt it down. They'll find it.
Arnold, what's that?
All right. Everything's all right.
But what was...
6 o'clock. That was the bell back in the basement. The day engineer turned off one of the sprinkler alarms.
Oh, honey. Come on. Come on, I'll help you.
Wait.
But you said
wait.
You would...
Look. Over there. Back. It's back.
Help. Help.
Don't.
Help.
Don't. He's looking right at us.
Oh. Well, they didn't hear us, but it did. It's starting this way.
Oh, my leg, Arnie.
Oh, how slowly it's moving. As if it... We can hardly see.
That's it, Emma, that's it.
What?
It's blind. That thing's blind. It's lived under the earth so long it can't see.
But it's still coming this way.
Oh, honey, come on.
I can't.
Hold on to me,
Let
Will.
Let me alone. Go ahead.
No, try. I'll carry you.
You can't carry me.
I will.
Me. Go ahead, Emma. Go ahead, I tell
I
you.
Won't
go on. Don't stay here, I tell you. Go
honey,
on.
Please listen to
Why
me.
Why you stay here with me? I wanted to kill you tonight, you hear me? I brought you down here to kill you.
Oh, Arnie, no, you're only saying
that. I'm telling you the truth. I brought you down here to kill you.
No, Arnie, I'll stay with you.
Listen to me. I brought you down here to kill you. Now, that's the truth. Look at me and believe it because it's the truth.
That's why you...
That's why I suddenly got so wonderful. I'm sick and tired of you. I'm sick and tired of living. So I brought you down here to kill you and then kill myself.
Arnie.
Look at it out there. It's feeling its way along. Well, he'll take care of me, but you've got to get out of here, Irma.
No.
You've got to get out. I deserve to die, but Irma, not you. You're so blasted good. I guess that's why I got tired of you, but that's no reason for you to die. Irma, stop looking at me like that. You've got to get out. Run straight down the tunnel. Keep running and you'll get away. Irma, just don't look at me. Get going.
No, Arnold.
Why don't you say what you've always said to me all these years? Just as you say, Arnie, just as you say. Oh, Irma, Irma, will you get out of here?
How slowly it moves.
Irma!
It is blind.
Bless you, look, will you listen to me? Will you go? You've got to go, or they'll think I've killed you.
No, they won't, they
yes,
won't.
Yes, they will. I left a note back home to the police. I told them I had killed you. If that thing kills you and me, they'll still think I was the one who did it. Now, do you want me to be a murderer? Do you want that?
You left a note?
Yes, yes. Don't you remember I turned back after you went out the door on the dining room table? Irma, get out of here and get that note. Don't make them think I killed you and I didn't. And I don't want to. You're such a good... You're too good for me. And I was tired and I was crazy. Don't make me a murderer, Irma.
Arnie... Goodbye.
Goodbye? Yes, Irma. Yes, hurry. Run fast. Straight ahead. He won't get you, I promise.
Arnie.
Go. All right. You blind thing, you.
Here I am. Yeah. Here I am. Here. I'm not scared. Come and get me.
AMS Sexual Assault Support Center is happy to present its new collaboration with My Sister's Closet, a social enterprise of battered women support services. The SASC's Got Consent clothing items will be sold at My Sister's Closet, located at 1092 Seymour Street in Vancouver. The Got Consent initiative is a preventative campaign that creatively touches upon the necessity for consent to be present during all sexual encounters. The Got Consent branding is visible on a variety of clothing items, including t-shirts, underwear, and tank tops. It's also available at the SASC and the UBC Wellness Center in the sub, in addition to at My Sister's Closet. For more information on the Sexual Assault Support Center at UBC and the Got Consent campaign, go to ams.ubc.ca/SASC.
Countdown for blast off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, presents
X minus one.
Tonight's story, Ray Bradbury's tale, The Veldt.
This is the office of Dr. David McLean, resident psychiatrist of the new Chicago Institute of Human Engineering.
All right, Miss Carver, will you take this, please? To Charles S. Haworth, senior psychiatrist, New Chicago Institute of Human Engineering. The following constitutes my report on the case of George and Lydia Abbott, which we discussed by telephone. Subject George relates onset of symptoms to the purchase of a $60,000 soundproofed Happy Life home. Under narcosynthesis during initial interviews, subject described the experience in the following manner. Miss Carver, would you play back the sonic record of the initial interview?
We'd always wanted one, and then we could afford it, so...
Go on, Mr. Abbott. Tell me about the home.
The home? Well, it was supposed to do everything, the agent told us. And it did, I guess. It clothed us, fed us, and rocked us to sleep, played and sang, and it was good to us. Very good, sure.
Tell me about the nursery.
The nursery? The nursery, ah.
It was completely automatic?
Completely automatic. There were crystalline walls that wavered from two to three dimensions. There were pseudo-textured floors that shifted from brick to dirt to waving grass. The nursery was the best, but then we wanted the best for the children. Doctor, I must be crazy. We have no children.
What about Peter and Wendy? They're your children.
Oh, no, no. We have no children, Doctor. We have no children.
All right, Miss Carver, to continue. After three sessions, the subject was able to recall and accept the idea that he had two children. He described the first day.
All right, Peter and Wendy, this is your nursery.
What's so special about a nursery, Dad?
Plenty. Just go in and see.
Do we have to?
You'll be surprised.
Gee.
Go ahead.
I'm scared.
I'm not. Hey, it's nice in here.
It is?
Come on in, Wendy. Boy, look at the pictures on the walls. They're real.
They're almost real. You can change them any way you like, just by thinking about it.
Go on in, dear.
Well, all right, Mommy.
Hey, Wendy, look what I can do with the pictures.
That's the White Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland.
Sure. I just thought about it, and there it was.
Let me try. Peter, let me try.
Well, go ahead. Just think.
How about Wizarding Oz? I want to see Wizard and Oz.
Well, dear, there we are.
Oh, they like it, don't
they? Why shouldn't they? All I have to do is think, and they've got whatever they want in three dimensions. Color, sound, and smell.
Oh, it's nice that we can give them all the advantages.
Sure. What else are we working for, huh? Mm. Well, what do you want to do this evening?
Well, the Petersons asked us over for bridge, but
well,
if you...
Well, we don't have to worry about the kids. They'll be all right in the nursery. Come on, Lydia. We deserve a night out.
And in the nursery, the walls were a kaleidoscope of time and space and imagination. The green forest of Sherwood and the quiet forms of Robin and his merry men gave way to the roll of the high seas and the smell of salt in the air as Sir Henry Morgan sailed into the harbor at Jamaica. And behind the crystalline quartz walls, the vacuum tubes and grids and banks of metal image tape spun quietly and efficiently, erasing the line between illusion and reality. Of course, the electric bill from Consolidated Utilities was tremendous, but it was worth it. The happy life home breathed contentedly as life proceeded with soft automaticity, as guaranteed in the brochure and bill of sale.
George. George, I wish you'd look at the nursery.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know.
I was in the nursery last week. It's perfectly all right.
It's different now.
What do you mean, different?
I want you to come and see.
Are the kids there?
No. Madge Allen took them to a show along with her kids. That's why I want you to look at it now, before they get back.
Oh, all right. What you expect me to do, I don't know. I'm no mechanic.
This isn't a question of a leaky faucet, George.
All right, dear. I'm coming.
The nursery light flicked on as they came down the hall. The relays clicked and the tubes warmed and chemical odor banks and pipes bubbled into life as they paused before the closed door.
Go ahead, George. Open it.
On all sides, in three dimensions, stretched the hot, tired landscapes of an African veldt reproduced to the last stick and pebble and bit of straw. The ceiling above them became a sky with a hot yellow sun. A wind blew in from the baked veldtland. The hot straw smell of lion grass. The cool green smell of the hidden waterhole. The great rusty smell of animals. The howl of the jackal in the distance. And the papery rustling of the great vultures that wheeled and circled under the yellow burning sun.
Let's get out of this, son. It's a little too real.
Oh, George, you promised you'd look around.
Well, I don't see anything.
Wait a minute. There are the vultures.
Filthy creatures.
There. There are the lions. Far over that way.
Yes, I see them.
Well, they're on their way to the waterhole. They've just eaten.
Some animal. A zebra or a baby giraffe, maybe.
Can you see it? Are you sure?
It's a little late to be sure. Nothing over there but clean bone and the vultures swooping down for what's left.
Did you hear that scream?
What scream?
About a moment ago.
Sorry, no.
Oh, here come the lions. George, they're frightening.
Take it easy, Lydia. They're just illusion.
Lions were 15 feet away. So real, so startlingly real, you could feel the prickling fur on your hand, and your mouth was stuffed with the dusty upholstery smell of their heated pelts. And the yellow of them was in your eyes like the yellow of an exquisite tapestry. The yellows of lions and summer grass, and the sound of the matted lion lungs exhaling on the silent noontide, and the smell of meat from the panting, dripping mouth.
George! I'm afraid. They're so real.
They're only an illusion, Lydia, that's all.
Watch out!
Ah! Out, quick, outside!
They almost got us.
Now, take it easy. Calm down.
I could feel their breath.
Get a hold of yourself, Lydia. They aren't real. Walls, that's all it is. Crystalloid walls.
They look so real.
Of course they do. But it's all dimensional color reactionary process and metal tape film behind glass screens. It's all odorophonics and sonics. Now, here, take my handkerchief.
I'm afraid. Did you see? Did you feel it? It's too real.
Now, Lydia.
And we've got to tell Wendy and Peter not to read any more on Africa.
Of course, dear.
I want you to lock that place up.
But you know how difficult Peter is about that. I punished him last week by locking the nursery for an afternoon, and he threw a tantrum. And Wendy, too. Well, they live for the nursery.
It's got to be locked. That's all there is to it.
You've been working too hard, Lydia. You need a rest.
I don't know. Maybe I don't have enough to do. I have too much time to think. All I do is set the menu selector dials at the beginning of the week.
But that's the whole idea. The house is automatic.
I know, but couldn't we turn it off for about a week and take a vacation?
You mean you want to fry eggs for me?
And darn socks. I feel like I don't belong here. The house is wife and mother and maid. How can I compete with the African belts? George?
Hmm?
Those lions can't get out of there, can they?
Of course not, dear. Now, don't think about it anymore.
They ate alone. He sat idly watching the dining room table produce warm dishes of food from its mechanical interior.
You forgot the ketchup. That's better.
It wouldn't hurt to lock the children out of the nursery for a while. It was clear that they had been spending too much time in Africa. That sun, he could feel it on his neck still, like a hot paw. And the lions and the smell of blood. Remarkable how the nursery caught the telepathic emanations of the children's minds and created a life to fulfill their desires. The children thought zebras, and there were zebras. Sun, sun. Giraffes, giraffes. Death and death. They were so young. But long before you knew what death was, you were wishing it on someone else. But this, the long, hot African veldt, the awful death in the jaws of a lion, and repeated again and again and again. The children came home dutifully at 8:30.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop.
Hello,
hi,
darlings.
Do you want something to eat, dear? We're just having dessert.
We're full of strawberry ice cream.
And hot dogs.
We'll just sit and watch.
Sure. Peter, tell us about the nursery.
The nursery?
All about Africa and everything.
I don't understand.
Well, your mother and I were just traveling through Africa with Rod and Reel.
There's no Africa in the nursery.
Oh, come now, Peter. We know better.
I don't remember any Africa. Do you, Wen? Go run and see, huh?
Sure. I'll be right back.
Wendy, come back here. Wendy!
Oh, she'll be right back, Pop.
She doesn't have to. I've seen it. Come on.
Sure, Pop, but Wendy'll tell us.
Open the door.
See, Daddy? It's not Africa. It's farther. Like in Bambi.
There go the deer. See? It isn't Africa.
I see it isn't. Go to bed.
But it isn't 9 o'clock.
You heard me. Go to bed.
Okay. Good night, Mom. Good night, Pop.
Good night.
Good night, dear. I'll be right in.
Wait a minute, Lydia. Look at this.
What is it?
This is the corner where the lions were, isn't it?
What is that you picked up?
An old wallet of mine. There's a smell of hot grass on it. The smell of a lion. It's wet with saliva. And it's been chewed.
George, those smears are blood.
Come on out. Now let's go to bed.
But in the middle of the night, he was still awake. And he knew his wife was awake.
George, how did your wallet get in the nursery?
I don't know. Wendy must have changed the walls from the African veldt. I'm going to keep it locked. Maybe it isn't good for the children. My father used to say children are like carpets. They should be stepped on occasionally. We've never lifted a hand. They're spoiled and we're spoiled. I think I'll have Dr. McLean come tomorrow morning and have a look at Africa.
But it isn't Africa now. It's Florida and Bambi.
I have a feeling it'll be Africa again before then.
Although their automatic somno beds tried very hard, the two adults could not be rocked to sleep for another hour. A smell of cat was in the night air. And in the morning, the stove cooked French toast, and the dining room table poured the syrup and melted butter.
Pop?
Yes?
You aren't going to lock up the nursery for good, are you?
That all depends.
On what?
On you and your sister.
We feel you should have some variety, dear.
I wouldn't want the nursery locked up ever.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're thinking of turning the whole house off for about a month. Sort of camping out.
Be fun for a change. Now, don't you think so, Wendy?
No, it'd be awful.
I don't want to do anything but look and listen and smell. What else is there to do?
Oh, all right, all right. Go play in Africa.
Are you going to shut off the house soon?
We're considering it.
I don't think you better consider it anymore, Pop.
I won't have any threats from you, son.
Okay, Pop. Come on, Wendy. Let's get back.
After breakfast, Dr. David McLean arrived.
Oh, I saw the nursery last year, George. It looked all right to me.
You didn't notice anything unusual?
No. The pattern showed the usual violence, a tendency towards slight paranoia. All children feel persecuted by their parents. It's perfectly normal.
There. There it is.
Suppose we take a look at it now.
They entered without knocking and sent the children out. The screams had faded and the lions were feeding quietly under the trees.
I wish I could see what they're eating.
How long has this been going on?
A little over a month.
Certainly doesn't feel good.
I don't want feelings. I want facts.
George, a psychologist never saw a fact in his life. He knows about feelings. And this doesn't feel good. Now, my advice to you is to have the whole room torn down and your children brought to me every day for the next year for treatment.
Is it that bad?
I'm afraid so. You know, that's why the nursery was developed originally, to let us examine the patterns left on the wall by a child's mind.
But what is it? What's wrong with Peter and Wendy?
Well, it's hard to say.
I haven't punished them more than average. Oh, I took away a few gadgets. Last week, I locked the nursery to show I meant business.
You've let this room replace you and your wife in your children's affections. This room is their real father and mother. And now you come along and want to shut it. You can feel the hatred coming out of that sky. George, turn everything off. The nursery, the automatic kitchen, the whole automatic house. Start now.
But won't the shock be too much for the children?
I don't want them going any deeper. Let's get out of here. I never liked these rooms. They get me nervous.
Those lions look real, don't they? I don't suppose there's any way...
What?
That they could become real.
Not that I know.
Some flaw in the machinery, tampering?
No.
I don't imagine the room will like being turned off.
Nothing ever likes to die, even a room.
I wonder if it hates me for turning it off.
Paranoia is thick today. Well, hello. Is this your scarf? It's stained. Brown. Blood.
That's Lydia's. Come on, the main fuse box is out here.
All right, go ahead. Pull the switch.
Yeah. It's off.
The two children were in hysterics. They screamed and kicked and threw things. They yelled and sobbed and swore and jumped on the furniture, weeping.
It's off and it stays off. The whole house dies as of now.
He marched around the house, cutting switches and pulling fuses.
Don't let them do it! Don't let Pop kill everything! I hate you! I hate you!
Insults won't get you anywhere.
I wish you were dead.
We were for a long while. Now we're going to start really living. Instead of being handled and massaged, we're going to live.
Once more, Daddy. Just once more. One more minute of the nursery, that's all. Just one more minute.
Oh, George, it can't hurt, really.
Oh, all right, only shut up. 1 minute, and that's the end. Forever.
Gee, thanks, Pop. Thanks.
And then we're going on a vacation. Dr. McLean is coming in half an hour to help us out. Lydia, turn on the nursery for just a minute.
Oh, boy. Come on, Wendy, come on.
Thanks, Daddy. Thanks a lot.
Just 1 minute, remember. Now, where'd I put those suitcases? Lydia!
Don't shout, George. I'm right here.
Did you leave them alone in the nursery?
Well, I've got to get ready, George.
Well, I guess we'd better get them out of there before they get involved with those beasts again.
Pop! Pop, come here!
Daddy! Mommy!
Come on, quick!
Wendy! Peter! What's the matter?
Hurry up! Open the nursery! Wendy! Peter!
Why, they aren't anywhere. Wendy! Peter!
Peter! The door! Open the door. Oh. They've locked it from the outside. Peter!
Peter! Wendy!
us out, Peter. Open the door. It's time to go. Open the door.
George, the lions.
Peter, do you hear me? Open this door.
They're all around us, George.
Son. Son, do you hear me? Let us out. Son.
George, look out. The lions, they're coming.
When Dr. David McLean came, half hour later, he found the two children in the nursery sitting in the center of the open glade eating a picnic lunch. Beyond them was the waterhole and the yellow veldland. Above was the hot sun. At a distance, Dr. McLean saw the lions fighting and clawing and then settling down to feed in silence under the shady trees.
Hi, kids. Where are your mom and dad?
Oh, they'll be here directly.
Good, good. We've got to get along.
He squinted at the lions with his hands up to his eyes. Now they were done feeding and they moved to the waterhole to drink. A shadow flickered as the vultures dropped down from the blazing sky to finish what the lions left.
Dr. McLean? Dr. McLean?
Huh? What?
Have a cup of tea?
Which concludes my report to date. There were no lions, of course. Not in a physical sense. Lydia and George were devoured, however, almost as surely as if there had been lions. Their personalities were devoured by the mechanistic marvels which had usurped their role as parents. All four members of the family are under intensive therapy now and are doing as well as can be expected. Send that by telerope, Miss Carver. Oh, and, would you ask George Abbott to step inside? I'm ready for him now.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. Tonight, by transcription, X-1 has brought you The Veldt, written by Ray Bradbury and adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. Featured in the cast were Mary Patton, Bill Quinn, David Pfeffer, Beverly Lunsford, Charles Penman, and John Larkin. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was directed by Dan Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
Coming to the romantic Russian Hall this May, from the desk of Cat Singledane, director of Hard Times Hit Parade, the Dusty Flowerpot Cabaret is proud to present The Scarlet Queen of Mercy, the harrowing tale of an innocent showgirl who falls in love with not one, but two men on death row. Two men with the same name.
Are you packing?
Yeah, I'm putting away this liquor.
All right, Conaway, where were you last night at 10 p.m.?
I went for a drive. Any law against that?
Not if you got a license. You do have a license, don't you?
Featuring the hit musical number, I Want to Be With You and Mary.
Whatever you say, darling.
Ruby, hurry. You got to get out of this building.
I can't. I got a lease.
Sometimes I think I hear. I prepare to sway the whole night through.
Is it too big?
Well, it can never be too big. Is it too small is the question.
I mean, does it fit?
What is this B&E?
Bacon and eggs.
Sterling Temple, Ava Carlo, Marla Dean, Guy Richter, and none other than Arlene Belafonte as the Scarlet Queen of Mercy. Don't miss the latest Goody picture from famed actor-turned-director Arthur Goody. This one in glorious Technicolor. Every Thursday through Sunday in May at the romantic Russian Hall, the Scarlet Queen of Mercy begins May 1st with special preview pricing.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Brian McDonald, and you've been listening to Scald's Hall. Coming up, we're going to be having Canada Post Rock with John. So enjoy your weekend from all of us here.